You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As related by St. Alphonsus Liguori, a certain Father Roviglione, a Jesuit, related that a certain youth practiced the devotion of visiting every day an image of the sorrowful Blessed Mother, in which she was represented with seven swords piercing her heart. One night, the unhappy youth fell into mortal sin. Going next morning to visit the image, he saw in the heart of the Blessed Virgin not only seven, but eight swords, which pierced her immaculate heart. As he stood gazing at this, he heard a voice saying to him that this sin, this mortal sin of his, had added the eighth sword to the heart of the Blessed Mother. This softened his hard heart, and he went immediately to confession. And through the intercession of his advocate, recovered the divine grace. After which, St. Alphonsus Liguori relates a prayer, which goes like this. O my Blessed Mother, not one sword only, but as many swords as I have committed sins, have I added to those seven in thy heart. Ah, my Lady, thy sorrows are not due to thee who art innocent, but to me who am guilty. But since thou hast wished to suffer so much for me, and by thy merits obtain for me great sorrow for my sins, and patience under the trials of this life, which will always be light in comparison with my demerits, for I have often merited hell. Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. An extraordinary thought to keep in mind that every time we commit a mortal sin, we add to the sorrows of the Blessed Mother. We add to the sword, the dagger that pierces the heart of the Blessed Mother. Every time we are in mortal sin, we are the one that holds the hammer that nails those nails into the hands and feet of our Lord. We become the one who presses down that crown of thorns on the head of our Lord. We are the one who holds the lance through our mortal sin that pierces the side, that pierces the sacred heart of our Lord. And yet, how many of us even compound that sin, that mortal sin? And when Sunday comes around, we have the nerve, one can say, of approaching the Blessed Sacrament itself, of approaching our Eucharistic Lord and receiving our Eucharistic Lord in a tabernacle, our heart, full of mortal sin. A tabernacle, our heart, which takes in the Blessed Sacrament in an abode desecrated by mortal sin. Keep that in mind next time when the temptation arises, and this goes for me as well as for all of us, that every time we do commit a mortal sin, that we are the ones who pierce the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Mother with another dagger, and who nail our Lord to the cross. Keep that in mind before we open that chasm, which is mortal sin, the highway, one can say, to hell.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As we continue our journey through this most extraordinary book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, in fact, all his books are most extraordinary, with the insights that he gives us into the faith. This book here, titled The Incarnation, Birth, and Infancy of Our Lord Jesus Christ, we pick up this narrative here at the point where he discusses the eternal Word from being happy made himself afflicted. And what did he mean by that? He relates that, quote, the apostle here, referring to St. John, speaking of the divine beatitude, calls God the only one happy and powerful, the blessed and only mighty. And with reason, because all the happiness which can be enjoyed by us, his creatures, is nothing more than the smallest participation of the infinite happiness of God. The blessed in heaven find therein their happiness, that is, in entering into the immense ocean of the happiness of God. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, says Scripture. This is the paradise which God bestows on the soul at the moment when it enters into possession of his eternal kingdom. God, in creating man at the beginning, did not place him on earth to suffer, but put him into the paradise of pleasure, one can say. He put him in a place of delight in order that he might pass hence to heaven, where he should enjoy for all eternity the glory of the blessed. But by sin, unhappy man made himself unworthy of the earthly and closed against himself the gates of the heavenly paradise, willfully condemning himself to death and to everlasting misery. But the Son of God, in order to rescue man from such a state of ruin, what did he do? From blessed and most happy as he was, he chose to become afflicted and tormented. Our Redeemer could indeed have rescued us from the hands of our enemies without suffering, if he so chose. He could have come on earth and continued in his happiness, leading here below a pleasant life, receiving the honor justly due to him as King and Lord of all. It was enough as far as regarded the redemption, that he should have offered to God one drop of blood, just one drop, or one single tear, to redeem the world and an infinity of worlds at that. The least degree of the suffering of Christ, says St. Thomas Aquinas, would have sufficed for redemption on account of the infinite dignity of his person. But no. Having joy set before him, he endured the cross. He renounced all honors and pleasures and made choice on earth of a life full of toils and ignominies. Yes, says St. John Chrysostom, any action whatever of the incarnate word sufficed for redemption, but it did not suffice for the love which he bore to man. Interesting insight that is, whereby true anything short of the cross, short of the passion, short of earthly suffering and misery, would have more than sufficed for our redemption. But the saints here are saying that that wasn't the only goal of God with respect to the incarnation. Whereby the goal was not just simply our redemption, but to manifest to us his divine love for us. Not just to redeem us, but to show us mankind, his creatures, those made in the image and likeness of God, that he himself, love incarnate, how much he loves us. Us which are nothing, which are a speck of dirt, not even a speck of dirt, before the infinite majesty, God himself. St. Alphonsus goes on to relate here that, and whereas he that loves desires to see himself loved in return, Jesus Christ, in order to be loved by man, was pleased to suffer exceedingly and to choose for himself a life of continual suffering, to put man, so to speak, under an obligation of loving him in return. Basically, what he's saying here was the incarnation, and not just the incarnation itself, but his suffering, death, and passion, was the goal there was to show us in a tangible way how much God loves you and me. And to do that, he was willing to suffer the worst that there is to suffer in order to manifest, to show his love for you and me. I'm going to repeat that part again by St. Alphonsus. And whereas he that loves desires to see himself loved in return, that really the only thing that God wants in return from us is our love, our unconditional love. And whereas he that loves desires to see himself loved in return, Jesus Christ, in order to be loved by man, was pleased to suffer exceedingly and to choose for himself a life of continual suffering so as to put man under an obligation of loving him in return. Our Lord revealed to St. Margaret of Cortona that in his whole life he never experienced the smallest degree of sensible consolation. The life of Jesus Christ was bitter as the sea, which is thoroughly bitter and salt, and contains not one drop of water that is sweet. And therefore, the prophet Isaiah justly calls Jesus Christ a man of sorrows, as though he had been capable on this earth of nothing but anguish and sorrows. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the Redeemer did not simply take on himself sorrows, but that he endured sorrow in its highest degree, whereby he would signify that he chose to be the most afflicted man that had ever been upon earth, or should ever be hereafter. Yes, because this man was born on purpose to suffer. Therefore, he assumed a body particularly adapted for suffering. On entering the womb of Mary, as the Apostle tells us, he said to his Eternal Father, "When he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and oblation thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast fitted to me. My Father, thou hast rejected the sacrifices of men because they were not able to satisfy thy divine justice for the offenses committed against thee. Thou hast given me a body as I requested of thee, a body delicate, sensitive, and made purposely for suffering. I gladly accept of this body, and I offer it to thee, because by enduring it in this body, all the pains which will accompany me through my life, and shall finally cause my death upon the cross, I propose to propitiate thee towards the human race, and thus to gain for myself the love of mankind. And behold," he then says, "him scarcely entered into the world when he already begins his sacrifice by beginning to suffer, but in a manner far different from that in which men suffer. Other children, while remaining in the womb of their mothers, do not suffer because they are only in their natural place, and if they do suffer in some slight degree, at least they are unconscious of what they feel, since they are deprived of understanding. But Jesus, while an infant, endures for 9 months the darkness of that prison, endures the pain of not being able to move, and is perfectly alive to what he endures. It is for this reason that Jeremiah said, 'A woman shall compass a man.' He foretold that a woman, which was Mary, should bear enclosed in her womb, not a child indeed, but a man. A child truly as to age, but a perfect man as to the use of reason. Since Jesus Christ was full of wisdom from the first instance of his life. Whence Saint Bernard said, Jesus was a man while not yet born, but in wisdom, not in age. And St. Augustine says, the unspeakably wise was in his wisdom a speechless infant." The saints have said that while our Lord was in the womb of our Blessed Mother, he had Calvary, he had the cross before his eyes every moment of his life. Every moment of his life while he was in the womb, that blessed womb of our Blessed Mother. every moment of his life after he was born. Every moment of his life in childhood. Every moment of his life as he was growing up. Every moment of his life in adulthood. And every moment of his life as he preached in the hills and valleys of Israel and Jerusalem. That our Lord's passion truly began at his incarnation.
Salve.
You are listening to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
St. Alphonsus Liguori continues in this extraordinary reflection on the incarnation and infancy of our Lord, where he says, quote, "He comes forth then from the prison of his mother's womb. But for what? Is it perhaps to enjoy himself? He comes forth to fresh suffering, for he chooses to be born in the depth of winter, in a cavern where beasts find stabling, and at the hour of midnight, and he is born in such poverty that he has no fire to warm him, nor clothes enough to screen him from the cold. A grand pulpit is that manger, says St. Thomas of Villanova. Oh, how well does Jesus teach us the love of suffering in the grotto of Bethlehem. In the stable, all is vile to the sight, unpleasant to the hearing, offensive to the smell, hard and revolting to the touch. Everything in the stable is painful. Everything is painful to the sight. For one sees nothing but rugged and dark rocks. Everything is painful to the hearing, for he hears only the cries of brute beasts. Everything is painful to the smell, from the stench of the litter, the droppings that are scattered around. and everything is painful to the touch, for his cradle is a lonely, narrow manger, and his bed is only a handful of straw. Look on this infant God, how he lies bound up in swaddling clothes, so that he cannot stir. God endures, says St. Zeno, to be bound in swaddling clothes because he had come to pay the debts of the whole world. And whereupon St. Augustine remarks, O blessed rags with which we wipe away the filth of sins. If one thinks of it, how blessed were those rags which covered the Word made flesh. How blessed was the handful of straw which formed the bed of our Lord. How blessed was that stable there in Bethlehem, which became an earthly tabernacle for the Word made flesh. We tend to view Christmas as a joyous occasion, and rightly so. But it should also be a sorrowful occasion, because for our sins, the incarnation became necessary. For our sins, that child was to be born. For our sins, that child's passion began in the womb of his mother, all the way to that day, Good Friday, in Jerusalem. That if you were to, in a sense, gaze upon the adorable face of that child in Bethlehem, you would come to the realization that that was the cost, the price to be paid for my sin and yours. St. Alphonsus goes on to say, St. Augustine remarks, again, O blessed rags with which we wipe away the filth of sins. Observe him, how he trembles with cold, how he weeps, to let us know that he suffers, and offers to the Eternal Father those first tears as a child, as a babe in the manger, to release us from that endless wailing which we had deserved. Blessed tears, says St. Thomas of Villanova, which blot out our iniquities. O tears for us most blessed, since they obtain for us the pardon of our sins. And thus did the life of Jesus Christ continue always in affliction and sorrow. But a short time after he was born, he was obliged to fly as an exile and wander into Egypt to escape out of the hands of Herod. Then in that barbarous country, he passed many years of his childhood from Egypt, dwelling at Nazareth, very different up to the time when he received death from the hands of the executioner on the cross in a sea of sorrows and infamy. But besides, we must also well understand here that the pains which Jesus Christ endured in his passion, the scourging, the crowning with thorns, the crucifixion, his agony, death, and all the other torments and ignominies which he suffered at the end of his life, he also suffered at the beginning. Because from the beginning, he had always before his eyes the sad scene of all the torments which he would have to suffer when about to leave this earth, as he predicted by the mouth of David, "My sorrow is continually before me." We hide from the sick man the knife or the fire with which he is to be cut or cauterized in order to regain his health. But Jesus would not have the instruments of his passion by which he was to lose his life, that he might gain for us eternal life, hidden from his sight. He desired always to have before his eyes the scourge, the thorns, the nails, the cross, which were to drain all the blood from his veins, till he died of pure grief, deprived of all consolation. One day, Jesus Christ appeared to Sister Magdalene Orsini, who had been suffering a heavy affliction for a long time under the form of a crucifix, to comfort her by the remembrance of his passion and to animate her to bear her cross with patience. She said to him, "But thou, my Lord, wast only 3 hours on the cross, while I have suffered this pain for many years." Then our Lord from the cross replied, "Ignorant creature that thou art, from the first moment that I was in the womb of Mary, I suffered all that I had afterwards to suffer in my death." What a most extraordinary thought that is. I'll repeat what our Lord said here. "Ignorant creature that thou art," and again, those words could just be said to us, not just that saint. "Ignorant creature that thou art, from the first moment that I was in the womb of Mary, I suffered all that I had afterwards to suffer in my death." Christ, says Novarinus, even in the womb of his mother, had the impression of the cross on his mind, so that no sooner was he born than he might be said to have the principality on his shoulders. So then, my Redeemer, throughout thy whole life, I shall find thee nowhere but on the cross. "Lord, I find thee nowhere but on the cross," says Dragone Ostiense. Yes, for the cross on which Jesus Christ died was ever in his mind to torment him. "Even while sleeping," says Bellarmine, "the sight of the cross was present to the heart of Jesus." Christ had his cross always before his eyes, when he slept his heart watched, nor was it ever free from the sight of the cross. But it was not so much the sorrows of his passion, continues St. Alphonsus Liguori, which saddened and embittered the life of our Redeemer, as the sight of all the sins which men would commit after his death. Interesting thought to reflect upon here. That it was not so much the sorrows of his passion which embittered his heart, the heart of our Redeemer, so much so as it was the sight of all the sins which men would commit after his death. In a sense, the agony there on the cross. While on the cross, he saw my sin and yours that day in Jerusalem, that day of Good Friday. That our Lord, as our Lord was suffering and dying on the cross, paying the ultimate and most unimaginable price that the infinite can pay for our redemption, that while on that cross in Jerusalem, Good Friday, all my sins, all your sins were before his very eyes that day. All the sins of mankind weighing on his heart that day in Jerusalem. And we're hardly aware of that reality. Maybe we're not aware of that reality or don't even realize that because we haven't been reading the lives, the writings of the saints and mystics of the church these last 50 plus years. Maybe if we did that, familiarized ourselves with the writings of these most extraordinary saints and mystics, we would have a better understanding of the true depth of the faith, of what really occurred that day on Calvary, of what really occurred that day at the Incarnation, of what really occurs each and every day during the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Again, I'm going to read that. But it was not so much the sorrows of his passion which saddened and embittered the life of our Redeemer, as it was the sight of all the sins which men would commit after his death. These were the cruel executioners which made him live in continual agony, oppressed by such an overwhelming grief that pain alone would have been enough to make him die of pure sorrow. Father Lacius says that the sight alone of the ingratitude of mankind would have been sufficient to make Jesus Christ die of grief 1,000 times over. The scourges, the cross, death itself, were not hateful objects to him, but most dear, chosen and desired by himself. That he had offered himself spontaneously to suffer them. He did not give his life against his will, but by his own election as he tells us by St. John, I lay down my life for my sheep. This was indeed the chief desire of his whole life, that the time of his passion should arrive, that the redemption of mankind might be completed. For this reason, he said on the night preceding his death, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And before this time arrived, he seemed to console himself by saying, I have a baptism wherewith I am to be baptized, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? I must be baptized with the baptism of my own blood, not indeed to wash my own soul, but those of my sheep from the stains of their sin. And how ardently do I desire the arrival of the hour when I shall be bleeding and dead on the cross. St. Ambrose says that the Redeemer was not afflicted by the fear of death, but by the delay of our redemption. What most extraordinary thought! That he did not despise the cross, but embraced the cross. That out of love for you and me, he could not wait for the moment, and anticipated it eagerly, the moment where he would be able to suffer and die for you and me. You and me who are nothing, nothing at all, not even a speck of dust compared to the infinite majesty of God. And yet God was willing to become incarnate, willing to be born in that cold and drafty stable in Bethlehem, on a bit of straw, after which he found a new bed for himself, the cross, where he laid down his life for his bride, the church, where he laid down his life for you and for me. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Been listening to Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zumpanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.